Morning, church. How are you guys doing? Hope you guys are keeping safe and well. Great to have you with us this morning. I hope you're going to be encouraged by what we share and look at this morning. Today is an exciting day because we're starting a new series. In previous weeks, if you haven't been with us, we've been looking at Paul's letters to the New Testament churches and sort of taking the big overview picture of those letters. And it's been great. I've certainly really enjoyed it and got a lot from it. And we've been sort of focusing in on how we are as church. It's been very much about community, about being together in the midst of difficulty. That's one of the themes that came out. So very applicable to the COVID-19 situation that we've been facing. But it has been that sort of broad picture. And having done the letters to the New Testament churches, I felt now was a time to perhaps focus in on something that's a little bit more personal, more to do with us as individuals, as our more to do with us in our walk of faith. And really what inspired me in that was a couple of weeks ago, I shared some verses from Psalm 139, a very well-loved, well-known psalm. I actually shared the last two verses, which say this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." They're beautiful words that essentially are a prayer of the psalmist. For God to be intimately involved in their life. And indeed, the rest of the psalm is full of these wonderful thoughts of God knowing the person, being known, being in relationship with. Perhaps not verse 19 to 22, which we tend to skip over in this psalm, which talk all about slaying the wicked and hating the God-haters and that sort of thing. But the rest of the psalm, it's all about being known, which is one of the most profound things that any of us can ever experience. I think it's at the heart of what it is to be a human being, is an innate desire to be known. That's why we enter into relationships with the people around us. And the more we are known, the more profound those relationships become. And of course, in the heart of the Christian faith is the knowledge and understanding that God himself knows us. And he knows us intimately. And it's not just a distant relationship, but he knows our inner thoughts, our inner workings. I mean, that brings its own challenges as well, of course. And we have to wrestle with the fact that God knows the bad about us is alongside the good and that sort of thing. But to be known by God is a truly wonderful thing. And we soon discover, I believe, in our journey of faith, that God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what our needs are, what our wants are, what our desires are, where our heart truly lays. And he wants to walk with us through life, helping us to understand ourselves as well. Well, that's what we're going to be focusing on over the next few weeks. And I'm sure it'll take us in various different directions. At the heart of this, I guess, is just the love and the grace that God shows us as his children. How well he knows us. So we'll be looking at different aspects of how God knows us and how we see that, particularly in the life and ministry of Jesus. And so today, what I want to focus on is on a particular aspect of that. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, we read of an encounter that Jesus has with a particular person. Starting from verse 36, we read this: "When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Well, the story goes on to explain how the Pharisees saw this as a point of accusation, that Jesus should have known that this woman was sinful and should have told this woman to stop. And Jesus uses this as an opportunity to tell a parable about those who have a lot to be forgiven for will love that much more when they're forgiven. And there is this teaching element to this encounter, but I sort of don't want to focus in on that today, because I want to focus in on Jesus' relationship with this woman and how Jesus responds to this woman. Because in a way, what this woman does here in her actions is in a sense to pray a prayer. She, through her weeping, through her anointing Jesus' feet with perfume and washing his feet with tears, she essentially does something that perhaps she wouldn't be able to put words to. But she's able to perform an action that is a cry of the heart. And I would suggest that it's a cry of the heart very much in line with those verses from Psalm 113. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Is that not the heart cry of this woman anointing Jesus' feet as she kneels behind him and weeps, and her tears fall on his feet and she washes his feet clean? Is she not saying, Lord, know me? Know all my anxious thoughts and lead me forward? I think she is. And we get to see Jesus' response to her. We'll look at that in a few moments' time. But within Jesus' response, we discover that he does know her. He knows her greatest needs. And he responds beautifully to that. But before we look at that response, I'd like to invite you to watch something now. Those of you who come to Addison Baptist Church will know that I'm a huge fan of the Skit Guys, an American double act, Christian evangelists that have a wonderful way of getting to the heart of the matter. They're very funny, but they're also very profound in what they do. So I'm going to invite you to watch them, and then we'll come back to this passage and just reflect on it a little bit more in a moment.
We wanted just to give you some scripture to help you out with that. It's one of our favorite verses, and it's in Psalm 139, and it's verse 23 and 24. And for us, this verse just really means a lot, because you can make this a prayer. And it says this, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart, test my thoughts, point out anything in me that you find sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I mean, that's a great prayer right there.
Yeah, it's a very introspective passage that you can make into a prayer. So let's just kind of show them what it would be like to turn that into a prayer.
So they can work it out. Just work it out right now.
Yeah.
As a skit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. Okay. She said, woo!
I didn't know if it was... I thought there was a spider monkey out there. I didn't know what that was.
All right. Okay, here we go. Okay. Search me, O God, and know my... Search me, O God. What? Tommy? You look a little constipated. What's going on? What's going on?
I am not Tommy.
You're not Tommy? Who are you?
Nay.
Are you a horse?
What? Nay.
No. What?
I'm God.
You're God.
Yay.
Oh, search me, oh God.
Yeah, that's why God says yay and nay.
What are you? Okay, I'll go with it. What are you? Okay, you. What are you doing? What are you doing now, God?
I'm smiting people.
Oh. You're smiting people?
Yeah, smite. You know, smite. You know, smite. Yeah.
Finished?
Yeah.
Yeah? Hmm. All right. Did you get him?
No, I spared him.
You spared him?
Yes.
I wouldn't have.
Okay.
No, come back. Okay. But you know what? We have skits where, you know, one of us plays God, you know, like God's chisel, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so, I'll be Jesus.
Well, we got skits like that too.
Okay, well, that's the two parts of the Trinity, so I don't know what you want me to do.
There's three parts of the Trinity.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
It's God and Jesus. That's
no,
it.
No, yo. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Yeah, so yeah.
Oh. I thought that was the three people singing it.
No, that's a trio.
Oh, so yeah. The Trinity is like a trio of God.
Yeah, Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll be the Holy Ghost. Yeah. All right? I'm like Casper. I'm friendly, but I'm holy. All right? Yeah. You can just call me HG. All right?
Okay. I'll call you God, but it'll be implied that you're the Holy Spirit. You are that still small voice. That's what that is. I thought it was aliens.
No. Feels so much better.
Okay. All right, so we'll just keep... Okay.
All right.
Search me, O God.
All righty.
Whoa. No, you are not.
Yep,
no.
You just relax.
I can't.
All right.
I can't relax. No.
A lot easier if you'll relax.
I can't.
Let me just get you to move right over here. All right. Just here we go. Just take a seat. Here we go. What are you doing?
I thought you were...
No, I don't like to get fingerprints on this.
Oh.
What did you think I was doing?
So what is this?
This is your heart right here. See that?
Uh-huh.
That's your heart.
Uh-huh.
And, your heart has muck and guck on it.
My heart has muck and guck.
Yeah.
Muck and guck.
I mean, that's what I see right there. I see muck, guck, and... Oh, there's some yuck. Yeah, yeah. Your heart has muck, guck, and yuck. Like a lifetime of bad choices covered with muck, guck, and yuck.
Muck, guck, and yuck. Seriously, that's what the Holy Spirit's going to say, muck, guck, yuck. Seriously, muck, guck, yuck.
Okay. You want serious?
Sure.
I'll give you serious. Your heart is a wellspring of life. You should guard it with all that you are because there is a great battle going on for the allegiance of your heart, and most times you're doing lukewarm at best.
Search me, O God, and know my heart, test my thoughts.
There you go.
What are these?
Those are your thoughts.
These are my thoughts?
Yeah.
Not my thoughts.
Yeah,
there's no way they're... These are my thoughts. Wow. How did you get a hold of my thoughts?
Hello.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. This is something for me to peruse a little bit later, and I will do that. Okay?
Let's just go through them right now.
Go through my thoughts?
Yeah.
I don't want... No, not in front of all these people. I don't want to go through my thoughts in front of these people.
Why not?
Well, I mean, they're going to think what I think if they're thinking about my thoughts, and those are my thoughts that I'm thinking. If they're thinking my thoughts, I'm thinking, wow, those are my thoughts if they're thinking. That's a lot of thoughts to be thinking, you think?
Fortunately, I'm the Holy Spirit, so I understand those groanings. Look, let's just start at the top. We'll just go through. Just trust me, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not bad. Starting at the beginning, in the A's, you have some anger issues.
I don't have anger issues.
You really do.
I don't. No. I don't have anger issues.
Well, I mean, your parents would say that.
Okay, no. My parents come from a different generation. They don't get the world that we live in now, okay? So it's not anger, okay? It's appropriate frustration, but it's not anger, all right? Okay, all right, okay?
Okay,
okay, okay,
fine.
Okay, 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 okay?
Yeah, okay, okay, How about your friends? Your friends say...
Okay, my friends, I am the leader of my friends, and they come to me for advice, all right? And I give them advice, but they do not take my advice, and it makes me a little angry, okay? It gives me this. Do you see that? Do you see that? It gives me that, okay? But I am the leader, and they don't listen. Do you know what it's like to be a leader of a lot of people, and they do not listen?
Have you ever read the Bible?
I'm just saying, okay, I'm just saying that I think my anger is in check, and sometimes that anger can be very, very healthy in a lot of different ways, okay? It's an emotion, all
okay,
right?
Okay, but the people that drive on the road with
they're you... They're morons! They're complete idiots! They are morons! They should all go to... an island, a secluded island where there are no cars and far, far away from me.
Wow, no anger problems here.
Okay, all right. I have a hang up and I will work on this, all right? I will work on it, okay? But I mean, does it really matter what I think?
Oh, yeah. As you think in your heart, that's who you are. Listen, you sow a thought. You reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a lifestyle. And it all begins with your thoughts.
But here's the deal. I can't erase everything in this book. I mean, it's my past.
I'm not asking you to erase it. I'm asking you to trust me with the story that I'm weaving through your life. It's called history for a reason.
History. His story.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's good, though. Search me, O God, know my heart, test my thoughts. That's a lot, right?
It's a great place to start, but I'd like to go deeper.
Do we have to?
We don't. We don't have to go deeper, and to be honest with you, most of my children don't even make it to this point. But I have great plans for you, and I don't want you to miss out on anything, so I hope you'll trust me.
Okay. Search me, O God, know my heart, test my thoughts, see if there's anything in me that makes you sad.
What could I possibly do that would make you that sad?
What you doing?
I couldn't sleep, so I'm just, you know, I'm on the computer.
What's her name?
I don't know her name. I mean, it's just, you know, just a she, you know.
Well, it's obvious she's a she.
Hey, she's... your creation. I was just admiring your creation.
You ever thought about looking at trees?
You made those too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll look into that one.
She?
Yeah.
You don't even know her name. I know her name, and I know everything about her. And I know the plans I have for her, and this is not a part of it. And this, looking at women in a degrading way, this makes me sad.
Okay. Okay, I have a habit.
Great,
all right?
Admitting it is the first step.
Okay, and I'm sorry about this. I really, really am sorry.
And you're forgiven.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean for this to happen.
I'm sorry, and you're forgiven.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, you know what? You need to quit that.
What?
Well, you say I'm sorry all the time.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm sorry.
Stop it.
Okay.
Listen, you've been forgiven. Receive my forgiveness. When you don't receive my forgiveness, you cheapen my grace. And this whole I'm sorry all the time, it makes me sad.
Yeah, but I...
But what?
Nothing.
No, say it.
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
Yes,
no.
You were.
No, I was not.
Yes, you
no,
were.
I was not.
And now you're lying to me. And when you lie to the Holy Spirit, that makes me sad.
Well, I
just say it.
No, I wasn't.
Say it.
There's nothing to say.
I dare you.
Can the Holy Spirit dare?
Just did.
Okay. I wasn't going to say nothing.
Yeah, you were. You were going to blame me.
I wasn't going to blame you.
Yes, you
no.
were. Yes, you what? Were. And listen, you blame me. You blame me. It's crazy because great things happen in your life. I get no credit. Something bad happens. Boom. It's my fault. You blame me for things. And it's not me. I didn't do it. And when you blame me, that makes me sad.
Okay. You're right. But I mean, okay. But look at me. I mean, me. Okay. I mean, me isn't a lot. Okay. And when I try to go out there and walk this walk of faith and I look at other people, I mean, look, Ray. Okay. Ray is a great example. Ray has it all together. He's a great leader. I mean, he's a good Christian.
He is a good guy.
He runs the race. Yeah. I mean, when he talks, people listen to him. Have you seen his Christmas card of his family?
No, I have it on my refrigerator.
See what I'm saying? I mean, that's... I mean, Ray, he just has it all together. Everybody loves Raymond, you know? And when I look at his life, and if I could just be a little bit more like Ray.
If you could be more like Ray, you know who you'd be?
Who?
Ray. I want you to try to be like me. This comparison thing, it makes me sad.
Well, isn't that just it, though? I mean, let's just be honest. If we're going to be honest and real, you're just tolerating me.
What?
Over my past, over my hurts, my habits, my hang-ups, all the things that I've done, you're just tolerating me.
Oh, listen, and catch this. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross so that I could tolerate you. He died so that this relationship could be repaired. And when I look at you, I see his perfection, not your hang-ups.
I'm just worried with my life that I'm going to fail you.
You worry so much.
I was worried you're going to say that.
Listen, when you worry, you're not trusting me.
I trust you. No, worrying is showing you that I really, 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 really care.
No, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do and it doesn't take you anywhere.
That is good. Do you mind if I tweet that?
Not right now.
I'm really worried that I'm going to forget that. Okay, all right. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Lead, that's an action word, lead. Okay, so if I do more, if I get involved when I go back home, if I do more things for your kingdom, then I will see your I will honor you and I will see... What are you trying to do? What are you doing?
I'm trying to get you on your knees.
Well, it's not working.
Nope. This is all you.
Oh, you want me to pray?
Yeah.
I'll pray. That's cool. Okay. All right.
A little more.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay.
That's cute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But see, I think this is really a good emergent prayer stance, okay? Because there's so many things to do, all right? If my phone rings, I'm there. If a text happens, I'm there. I can pray, but I'm there. I'm always ready to go. I'm always ready to go, all right? Always ready to do what I need to do. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't create you to be a human doing. I created you to be a human being. I just want you to be still and know that I'm God. Now make this your prayer.
Why don't you just put me on my knees?
I can, but I don't want to, and you certainly don't want me to. Now, make the verse your prayer.
Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Create in me a pure heart, clean up my thoughts. I want to live for you. Show me those things that make you sad and let me just go a 180 away from them and live the abundant life that you have for me. and lead me in the way of everlasting life.
There is a God who sent his son to die on a cross so that you could have a relationship with him. And the greatest relationships are the ones where people talk to each other. And he longs for you to spend time talking to him like that and listening to him like that so that he can be your God and that you can be everything he created you to be. Talk to him.
Thank you.
Well, there's a lot there to think about and reflect on and to respond to in a prayerful way. And I don't want to detract too much from that message that the Skit guys sort of brought to us. But I do just want to return to the story of the woman anointing Jesus' feet that we looked at a little bit earlier. Because as I said earlier, she's essentially praying that prayer through her actions. And what we get to discover is that as she prays that prayer, Jesus reveals that he knows her. That he profoundly knows her. He knows who she is. He knows what her greatest needs are and responds beautifully to that. We read in verse 48, "Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" Now, it'd be very easy to hear those responses of Jesus and to think, yeah, that sounds like Jesus. Those are the sort of things he says without understanding those words in the context of this woman's life. In order to really engage with this story, we have to put ourselves in her shoes and imagine what it must have been like for her to take the action that she did. We know from this story that she is considered a sinful woman in some capacity or other, that she has a reputation. No doubt she felt a lot of shame in her life, a lot of being socially ostracized as well. And yet she chooses on this day to go into an environment that would have been quite hostile to her. She goes to this Pharisee's house. She places herself in a place of real vulnerability. She doesn't know how Jesus is going to respond. She doesn't know how the people in the room are going to respond. It's highly likely that this was a very public moment. And yet she was desperate to fall at the feet of Jesus. She risked so much. She laid herself open. She became vulnerable. And she did it in public. And we have to ask ourselves, what would have driven someone to go to such extreme measures, to risk so much? Well, I believe from the story and from how Jesus responds, that the thing that would drive me, at least, to do what she does would be a complete lack of peace in life. I know that there have been times in my life where I've had unresolved issues, be they a result of sin in my life or circumstances or whatever. And I know how those things can rob me of peace. And when those things have robbed me of peace, I become completely restless. And I cannot focus on anything other than resolving whatever issue has occurred. And that's a very hard place to be. And I think that's where this woman is at. She has no peace in her life. she is utterly driven by the fact that she has no peace. She has to do something, so much so she's willing to risk everything to encounter Jesus. And so while it may seem like a quite a trivial thing to say at the end of this passage, I believe when Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace," that this reveals that Jesus knew exactly what she needed. She needed peace in her life. And he was able to speak that peace into her life. And I imagine she left that environment, left that place that evening, experiencing peace like she's never experienced before in her life, knowing that everything was going to be okay from that point on. You see, Jesus knew her. He knew what she needed to hear. He knew what she needed. And he met that need. And that's the beauty of being known by God. God knows what you need better than you know yourself. He loves you. Your name is written on the palm of his hand. He knows your every want, your every desire, your every need. And he wants you to rest in the security of that. That's what I love about this story. We don't get to hear what happened to this woman beyond this story. But I imagine that she lived in a different way from this point on. She lived in the secure knowledge of being forgiven, being saved, being at peace with her Lord and Maker. There's nothing more profound than that. And my deepest prayer today for you is that you would know that you are known by God. And he knows your every need. So I just really encourage you to spend some time this morning, maybe going back to Psalm 139 and those verses that we've been looking at today, verse 23 to 24. "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, this time of COVID lockdown is a time where I think we're all anxious in various ways about different situations. There's never been a better time, really, to get on our knees and make our anxious thoughts known to God. I mean, the reality is he knows them already. But as we express them to him, he's able to speak into our lives and help us through this. So I really encourage you to spend some time, even on your knees if you're able to, and pray those words and allow God to do the rest. Let me pray for us. Father God, as we begin this journey of reminding ourselves and coming to terms with the fact that you know us, would you help us to journey with you with honesty and integrity? Help us to make these words in Psalm 139 our prayer. Lord, search us and know us, know our hearts. Test us and know those things that make us anxious. And Lord, if there are things in our lives that are offensive, that are sinful, that are wrong, that break your heart, make them known to us and help us overcome those things. May we find forgiveness in you and grace to overcome. And in all this, Lord, lead us in your kingdom ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why don't we say the words of the Lord's Prayer together? Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. You are known by God. How awesome is that? There is no greater thing than being known by God. And I hope you've been blessed by our reflections this morning. Well, can I point you towards a couple of songs to take this a little bit further? The first song is actually a new song, at least to me. But in looking at this subject area and this message, I stumbled across a song entitled Known by someone called Torrin Wells, and in that they articulate this idea of being known and loved by God. So it's a new song for me, and it may indeed be a new song for you guys. So I just encourage you to listen to that, listen to the words, and allow that to minister further to your spirit. And the second song I'd like to direct us to is Lord, You Have My Heart, a wonderful song of responsive worship to being known by God, a wonderful prayerful song. So perhaps you can use those two songs to inspire you further in your journey of faith with God. I think that's about everything for now. It's been wonderful to share this reflection with you. I hope you're excited about this series. It'll be interesting to see where it heads. I'm sure in many different directions. But as I say, there is no greater thing than being known by God. So to reflect on this will be a real privilege. Well, we'll meet again next week. In the meantime, stay safe, stay well, and may God bless you. God bless.